The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, tonight, the 7th annual She Believes Cup wraps up on ESPN2 and the ESPN app with the U.S. Women's National Team taking on Iceland in Frisco, Texas. Coverage starts 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth, which is brought to you by our friends at Whole Foods Market, Champions League action yesterday. Chris Canty, give me a little read here. This is Christian Pulisic with the goal, and he's going to hit the gritty. Tell me what you think. Who did it better, him or Shefty?
I'm going to say...
Where's the gritty? There it is.
I'm going to say Shefty did it better than that. I'm going to give my teammate a little more credit than that. He tried to. I give him a C-plus for effort, but he fell short of the mark. I'm just saying.
It's a pretty brief gritty, isn't it? I don't know that.
Well, he didn't really commit to it.
That's what I mean.
Which is why I can't give him a better than a
C-plus. If you're going to gritty, you kind of got to go all in, right?
You got to go all in on the gritty.
Yeah,
everybody
knows this.
So, to me, I agree. I think Shefty, he was like a method actor. He went right after it, and he definitely out-gritty.
Just to be clear, neither one of them were aesthetically pleased.
Oh, I did. Disagree with you. Shefty was genius, and it's considering that as a career. As we continue in a moment, live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase, we are jam-packed. Canty is back in the house, and we're having fun. We are getting up this morning with Aaron Rodgers. What he hasn't done is make up his mind. As we explained, what he has done might just blow your mind. We hope that you were here for that conversation. In the meantime, his BFF is waiting patiently. The first shoe could drop any minute in Green Bay. We have the very latest on number 17. Plus, as the season's second half gets underway, is there anything LeBron can do to reverse the most disappointing year of his career? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you, starting right now with Rodgers and the interview yesterday. So let's go back over the last month in his life. The top-seeded Packers held to just 10 points in a home loss to the 49ers in the divisional round. There have been a lot of bitter playoff exits for him in recent years. This might have been the worst. Then Rodgers won his MVP award, his second straight. And he's the co-favorite with Patrick Mahomes to win it next year. So all of this in the context of he's playing as well as he ever has and maybe anyone ever has. And then, of course, he caused a stir on Monday night, thanking his teammates and many others in a lengthy Instagram post. He talked about that and his future with McAfee yesterday.
The offseason, I feel like, kind of, you know, begins when your season ends on paper, but it really starts to begin once the Super Bowl is over and you start to, you know, think about the next season and, for me, my future. And so there's been, you know, some contemplative days. But I wanted to have meetings with Brian and Russ and Matt. And I would say the meetings were much different than they've been in the past.
Oh.
In a positive way.
Oh.
Oh. Hmm.
And that there was some real honest conversations. But I am looking forward to making the decision and moving forward. I think it's best for me, it's best for the team, it's best for all parties involved. Let's just get this behind us.
First of all, that's really well done by McAfee and his crew. Just let him keep going. You don't have to fill that space, and he filled it for you with interesting stuff. So what should we take away from that? He says, last year he wouldn't even say Brian Gutekunst's name, right? He wouldn't say his name. Now he's talking about how positive these meetings have become. What should we be reading from those tea leaves, Graziano?
I mean, he's looking forward to the day when he's finally allowed to make this decision. There's obviously a date on the calendar before which he cannot. No, of course, he can make the decision anytime he wants. Like, it's up to him. So I don't understand what he's talking about. It seems like, you know, what he wanted from the Packers last year, and he made this fairly clear when he showed up, was he wanted them to respect his input and his feelings on some, you know, roster-related stuff, how the organization operates. So when he says the meetings are going better, I take it to mean that, right? That they're more receptive to that than they have been in the past. But, you know, what he says doesn't match up with what he does. They have work to do, and they need to know what he's going to do before they can get to a lot of that work with regard to other people's contracts and them getting under the salary cap. So every day he delays it makes it more difficult for them.
RG3, as you have now had a little time to digest this, what do you think of all this, is the way he's approaching this and the time that it's taking?
Well, I think Graz is right. The decision is up to him. But, you know, last time I checked, he's not on ESPN o'clock. You know, he's on his own timetable. He can do what he wants, and he's showing the world that. Everyone is parsing every single word that Aaron has to say, and he's enjoying that process. You know, I really think he's at full-blown zero-dark flirty mode, right? He's flirting with going. He's flirting with staying. He's flirting with the hearts of millions and millions of fans. But for the sake of his teammates and all of us involved, please just make a decision already. He's the only one that's dragging this out.
Well, it does actually beg the question, and I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to this. Does he already know what he's going to do?
That's a good question.
Like I remember when we were talking about Brady in the context of it, many people sitting on this set with me would say, I don't think he knows what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Rodgers does already know what he's going to do. If he hasn't made up his mind, that's one thing. If he has, and he's just kind of dragging this thing out, it's another. And again, we won't necessarily ever know.
Yeah, look, we have fun with it. He makes himself an easy target. But it is a significant decision.
Right.
And if he is wrestling with it, then that's obviously his right. He has structured his contract in such a way that gives him some leverage here, and he's got the Packers over a barrel. And whether he's enjoying that or whether he's not enjoying it, that it is his decision, and it is a big one. So, yes, respect that for sure.
All right, go ahead, Canty. I want to read something here, but go do that.
But what I want to say to Graz is he can't act like he's oblivious to what putting that Instagram post out there does in terms of us looking at it as a precursor to him actually making a decision and then talking glowingly about the Packers front office and how the relationship has been repaired and then stopping just short of saying that he's coming back. If he does know what he's going to do and he's not announcing it, then he's even more selfish than any of us ever thought.
100%. I'm not excusing anything he's saying or doing publicly. Just saying internally, it's not inconceivable to me that he actually is still wrestling with the decision.
Let me say two things about this. One of them is that in 2022, it is difficult to accuse people of doing things just for attention, because that seems to be a very commonplace thing to do. If you open Twitter, and I can say this because during the last break, I just went to see what's trending on Twitter. Half the names on there, when you see the name trending, the first thought you have is, well, that person just said something crazy to get attention, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no one has paid attention to me in the last 2 weeks, so I'm just going to say something that will make everyone pay attention to me. Right. People do that. He just has the ability to do it on a much larger scale, because he actually has things to say that people care about. He doesn't. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying he's hardly the only person who does it. Does that make sense?
Sure. It makes sense. That doesn't make it admirable in any way.
No one's suggesting it's admirable. It is just very much of the moment, right? This is very much the world we live in. Secondly, tell me how important this is. This was just sent to us by Field Yates. The Packers have created basically $10.9 million in cap space this year by restructuring the contract of nose tackle Kenny Clark. Mm-hmm. They converted some of his compensation into a signing bonus. It's one of several maneuvers Green Bay will make in advance of the new league year, which, again, doesn't start till the middle of next month. So how significant is that, and how, if at all, does it inform what we should be thinking here?
Well, what's the number, 10.9?
Let's call it 10.9.
So they have to get, they're about 50 over, and then it goes to 70 once they tag Davante Adams. So that's a significant chunk of it. Look, this is the kind of business all teams are doing, and they're going to have to do whether Rodgers comes back or not. That sounds like a simple restructure. There are other contracts on their ledger that are going to be subject to the same kind of maneuvering.
And to be clear, the biggest restructure they'll do will be with Rodgers, one way or the other, right? Yeah. He's got a $46 million dollar cap hit this year that was put in place essentially as a poison pill, knowing that they can't possibly have that. So one way or another, that thing will get restructured, whether he stays or goes, and that will knock down a huge part of that number, right?
Right, but he has to be involved in that. They can't just do that. That was an issue last year when they were talking about extending. He had to sign off on that and didn't. So, yes, he's involved in that process.
That is the control he has over his situation going forward. You're looking at me like you have a thought. What do you make of that? That they have begun doing the business of their offseason while they wait for the most important shoe to drop.
Well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't just have control over his future football future, but he has control over his teammates' football future too, because there are some veterans on the Green Bay Packers that could potentially be salary cap casualties. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Za'Darius Smith. You're looking at Preston Smith. These are decisions that the Packers organization has to make, and the longer Aaron Rodgers drags this out, the more uncertainty that those guys are going to have to live with in trying to determine where they're going to play next, whether that's going to be Green Bay or elsewhere. And the one thing I will say is, if you're a guy that's going to be released by a team, you want to be cut before the start of free agency, so you have an opportunity to get a jump on it, to put yourself in a more advantageous position before the rest of those guys can actually be signed. So he's actually doing a disservice to the guys that he's saying that he cared about in that Instagram post.
Yeah, sooner rather than later, I guess, is the operative word that you're talking about here. And maybe it could have and should have already been done. One of those teammates, of course, is Devontae Adams. And the window for NFL teams to tag players opened yesterday. And that's the biggest question as far as this is concerned. Biggest question in the league is, when will Devontae Adams get tagged? How will that work? And what will it mean when they do it? Rodgers talked about that with McAfee yesterday, too.
I understand also today, I believe, might be the first day to tag players. And, you know, in Green Bay, there's this one specific guy who's like the best guy in the entire league at what he does. You know, whereas, like, I think number 17, you might have heard of him. So there's, you know, there's obviously, you know, the opportunity to tag him at some point, which, you know, I don't think, you know, both parties probably want that done. They'd rather get a long-term extension done. But I understand that's a part of the decision, and I talked about, you know, not wanting to drag this thing out.
All right, so RG3, how about that? In your view, are Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers joined at the hip here one way or the other?
Oh, I think they most certainly are. Aaron Rodgers kind of alluded to that. He gave it to us unintentionally, kind of saying that he doesn't think that either side wants to do the tag. They want the long-term deal. But it appears that the Packers are waiting to figure out what Aaron Rodgers' decision is going to be, because they view him and Devontae Adams as that package deal. And I understand why. These guys are force multipliers. They're much better together than they are apart. It doesn't mean that they can't go and star on other teams next season playing for different teams. Even Devontae Adams has said he might want to go to Vegas, or sources have said that he might want to go to Vegas and team up with his old college quarterback. So when I listen to this, I just don't like the approach by the Packers. Devontae Adams is such a great player, one of the best at his position, right? He's showing no signs of slowing down. 123 catches, 1,553 yards, 11 touchdowns. This guy, you got to pay him. Pay him whatever he wants. CryptoKitty, NFTs, Bitcoin, I don't care. He makes your team better. You should not get rid of him, even if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back.
In fact, I've had it suggested here, Chris, and I'd be curious. You played a long time in the league. You sort of understand how these things are viewed. I've had it suggested that it will play badly with other players around the league if Devontae Adams winds up being forced to play this year on the franchise tag, that he's 30 years old, that he has earned the opportunity to cash in and get his big payday. Now, that isn't the Packers' primary concern. I get it. They have to do what's best for them. But generally speaking, that people around the league will want to see him get the money that he clearly has earned over the course of his great career.
Yeah, Greeny, no player wants to play under the franchise tag. Right. You're assuming all the risk of injury, and there's no guarantee that you're going to get a big payday on the other side of that if your production falls off. And in Devontae Adams' case, the potential of not playing with Aaron Rodgers and having to go with Jordan Love, you could talk about your numbers taking a significant dip. So, yeah, he wants to get that long-term extension. But I will say this. There is amount of leverage that Devontae has in this because his cap hit would be so high under the franchise tag. It would be a situation that doesn't afford Green Bay a whole lot of flexibility in shaping their roster moving forward. So this is one of those chicken of the eggs types of conversations, but the best interest for the team is to understand what Aaron Rodgers is doing so they can formulate a plan for Devontae as well.
And we have seen players in recent years that have been franchised and then didn't sign the tag, didn't show up, and ended up, you know, forcing the team to trade him. Jadeveon Clowney did it, Jarvis Landry did it, Frank Clark, you know, so it can be done. They'll franchise him if they don't have a deal done by March 8th. No one else in the league has been franchised yet either. Yesterday was the first day you could do it, and teams don't generally do it that early. So this is a procedural issue. They'll franchise him to keep him there, and if Rodgers decides to retire or move on, then they have the ability to trade Devontae Adams to a team that will give him that contract if they don't want to.
You know, and I think that the best way to sum this up, as I just sort of sit here taking this in, and we spend all of this airtime somewhat breathlessly dissecting the situation, for which I don't apologize at all, because it's an incredibly significant event in the NFL. This is the two-time reigning NFL MVP playing at his absolute apex, and his future will determine a lot of things. This is one of the most unique people that we have had in sports in all the years I've been covering it. And what, this is a man sitting there having a conversation about undergoing the Panchakarma cleanse at the same time as he's talking about whether or not Devontae Adams is going to get the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing a T-shirt from The Office. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no one. And have you ever met a person who reminds you of that? I know people who might do any one of those three things. I don't know anyone who would do two of them, much less all three of them. He is a unique man, isn't he?
No, he is a unique man, but we also know one thing that's motivating him, too, to be considered amongst the greatest quarterbacks to have ever played the game. And from a skill set perspective, I don't think anybody's going to argue that, but as far as being the GOAT, greatest of all time, you usually have to have multiple championships, right, multiple Super Bowl appearances to be in that club. And Aaron Rodgers isn't there yet. Now, I know he's just one MVP off of Peyton Manning, so maybe that plays a significant role in where he decides he wants to play next year. But that's something to keep in mind when we start speculating about what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, because it's about trying to position himself to compete for a championship and making sure that he picks the right spot in order to do that.
I don't disagree with any of that. I guess all I'm saying is it's very difficult to put yourself inside a person's head. We're sitting here trying to get inside his head. How do you put yourself inside the head of a person, I mean this respectfully, who is as unique as he is? No human being I know can relate to all three of those things at the same time. And I love The Office, don't get me wrong. All right, we'll see. We'll have more on this as we go. As we continue, we got other players who may be going from one place to another, including that one. That's Jarvis Landry, another star Browns receiver, saying his time in Cleveland may be over. What exactly will this mean going forward? We've got the latest on that. Plus, if Russell Wilson wants to get back to the Super Bowl and doesn't think he will in Seattle, we've got just the plays for him, and we'll tell you where it is as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up. Graziano, a lot of news out there. Let's run the hurry up. What is the latest with Eric Bieniemy?
Oddly, not much. There's still a situation where he's in limbo. His contract coming to an end. There's been a planned postseason meeting between him and the Chiefs about his future. To this point, I've been told no resolution on that, so we continue to watch and wonder as other coaching staffs get filled out what the state of Eric Bieniemy and the Chiefs is. My guess is he stays, but again, we haven't heard that officially. Wide receiver Jarvis Landry of the Cleveland Browns made some noise on social media yesterday. Seems he's unhappy with his situation there, and you can imagine why. He's scheduled to make about $15 million this year, non-guaranteed, and he looks like a strong candidate to be one of the many salary cap casualties we see every year in the league. Browns not likely to want to pay him $15 million this year, can save almost that whole amount by cutting him. Seems likely that Jarvis Landry will be headed elsewhere in 2022. And then former Dolphins coach Brian Flores, now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers staff, telling HBO that he declined to sign a separation agreement with the Dolphins that would have prevented him from saying negative things about them in the media, prevented him from suing them. Of course, we know he's done both of those things since then. The Dolphins denied the claim. Then Flores' lawyers tweeted pictures of the contract and the language, which make it clear that that's what happened. So this ugly situation continuing to get uglier with Brian Flores vis-a-vis the Dolphins and the NFL.
Yeah, let's actually give people a little closer look. Let's play this from last night. So this was Brian Flores on Real Sports with Brian Cumble last night on HBO, asked about not signing that separation agreement. And here's what he said.
I think, just signing that, separation agreement would have really silenced me.
How much money did you wind up leaving on the table by choosing to not sign that agreement?
A lot.
A good amount of money.
A lot of money.
What's a good amount?
It was millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
It was 2 years of his contract. And to Coach Flores' credit, he wasn't going to sign that because it wasn't about the money. If it was about the money, he would have signed it. What he did instead was he filed this lawsuit so that he could help other coaches now and in the future.
And so the Dolphins responded to that by saying the latest assertion that Steve Ross mentioned in NDA to him is categorically false. This just did not happen. We simply cannot understand why Brian continues this pattern of making unfounded statements he knows are untrue. We are fully cooperating with the NFL investigation. Look forward to all of the facts coming out, which we are confident will prove that his claims are false and defamatory. As you pointed out, Dan Graziano, after that statement, the lawyers who you saw sitting there, and they were here a couple of weeks ago, they tweeted out pictures of the agreement that did seem to say the things that Flores is saying they said. So how should the fans be looking at that and trying to understand it?
I'm trying to get some clarity on this, but based on what I learned last night, the stuff they tweeted out looks like standard contract language in a separation agreement. You fire a coach, you agree to pay him the rest of his salary or some portion of it, but usually the coach will sign the agreement that says they won't disparage the organization, won't engage in a lawsuit, and then the coach disappears for a year or two till they stop getting paid by the team and they go get another job.
Right.
Obviously, in Brian Flores' case, he had other plans. He wanted to come out publicly with what he says happened in Miami with regard to him and the owner. He wanted to file the lawsuit, so he didn't sign that. And yes, I think we take them at their word that there was significant money available to him if he had.
If he did walk away from the final 2 years of his contract in their entirety, then it would be millions of dollars, as they said. Again, we'll wait and see how all of this plays out. It's worth reminding everyone he is now back working again. He's on the staff in Pittsburgh. With that said, Chris Canty, what is your reaction to all this?
Well, when you forego millions of dollars on your contract, it seems to me that it would justify Brian Flores' course of action in filing litigation in federal court, because something was amiss with how he was treated down there with the Miami Dolphins. We know the claims that he makes against the New York Giants and against the Denver Broncos, but in this particular instance, when you have the accusation that he was offered money by Stephen Ross to throw games in 2019 or to lose games in 2019 in order to improve draft position, and then you look at his track record, his resume, you're talking about a coach that was one game under 500 with four different starting quarterbacks in 3 years, back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in that franchise's history since 2002-2003 with Dave Wannstedt. It wasn't about job performance with Brian Flores. That's not why he lost his job down there. So to me, it seems like it adds more validation to the NFL's need to investigate exactly what took place in his tenure as the head coach of Miami.
RG3, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Greeny, I mean, what it looks like to me is that Brian Flores had already made the decision to file a lawsuit against the NFL and the Miami Dolphins when he was terminated by Stephen Ross and company. It seems that Bill Belichick's text message and then the interview with the Giants only gave more ammunition to him and his lawyers to be able to go forth and file this class action lawsuit. So Brian Flores, in my opinion, did something that brought light to an issue with minority coaches being hired as head coaches that all of us already knew. But he was already prepared to make that decision when he knew he was getting fired. And I think that adds more validity, like Chris said, to his claims and what the NFL needs to do as far as investigating the Dolphins and every other claim that he's made.
Again, and this, the only thing of which I think we can be certain is that we've not heard the last of it, and we'll continue to cover it for you here as the events unfold. In the meantime, we have a lot more to do this morning on Get Up. If LeBron James wants to win another title, does he need to leave L.A.? My man Jalen Rose is going to join us live next with his thoughts on the NBA second half. But first, we've got Sneaky Hembo for you, Graz, and this is a good question.
It is.
Who is the only quarterback with a losing record under, meaning playing for, Mike Tomlin, who himself has never had a losing season? It's a sneaky question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and to the NBA we go. LeBron James had an eventful All-Star weekend in Cleveland, which culminated with that game-winning shot to win the All-Star game. But as we enter the stretch run of the season, the Lakers have been the biggest disappointment in the sport. A lot of people thought they were a prohibitive favorite to win the West. Instead, look all the way down there. They are currently ninth, 21 games behind the Western Conference leading Phoenix Suns, who've been even better than they were a year ago when they made it to the NBA Finals. And look who got up with us early today. Oh, I haven't seen him outside of nights lately. The great Jalen Rose is up with us early here. And Jay, we've talked a lot about the Lakers on NBA Countdown, but for the purposes of here, right now, Anthony Davis is hurt again, which is a consistent problem for them. They're sitting four games under 500. The Russell Westbrook situation has just not worked. What can they do in the rest of this season?
So, Greeny, LeBron James has been outstanding this year. And if the Lakers were a true contender, he'd be in the MVP conversation. But however, the last few seasons, Anthony Davis has around 75 DNPs. That won't cut it during the regular season, doesn't help their seeding once the postseason happens. Also, the Russell Westbrook trade, that was a fail. Not that Russell isn't still a guy that can perform on a nightly basis. It's just when you look at what they had to give up in order to get him. They gave up a lot of their future. They gave up a lot of their currency. And so, therefore, they don't really have the maneuverability to make the kind of moves that LeBron, I'm pretty sure, hope this team can make to put him as a contender. So, like I've told you, the Lakers already won their LeBron championship. And it's okay. But in doing so, they mortgaged their currency and their future.
That's the point. And Jalen has been saying that for a while. They win the championship in the bubble. They've traded so many players away to do it. But that does beg the next question, because LeBron spent a lot of this past weekend talking about, well, he wants to finish his career playing with Bronny. He wouldn't close the door on going to Cleveland. He's singing the praises of general managers. Is his best path to winning another championship in his career to go somewhere outside of L.A.?
Greeny, you're going to get me in trouble. Here's the thing. If LeBron really wanted to go win the championship, you know what he'd do? He'd go to Cleveland and play for the minimum. That's what he'd actually do. Mm. Not force them to give up any of their young assets like Garland and Mobley, who were terrific this weekend, along with Jared Allen. Sexton is still a part of their growth period. We'll see what happens with him. And as you acknowledge, hopefully Bronny continues to work on his game and he's in the league in a couple of years. And then I guess that team will determine ultimately if LeBron plays his last season with them. But if he wants to win the championship in the meantime, in between time, unless Bronny about to come out today and really be a factor for their rotation, I feel like he's already won his championship in L.A. And that's okay. Let me ask you this, Greeny.
Yeah.
When Dirk wins one with the Dallas Mavs, when Kawhi wins one with the Toronto Raptors, when LeBron wins one with the Cavs, there's a level of satisfaction there because those teams don't always win it. But when you're a member of the Lakers, they're like, what have you done for me lately? We won it way before you. We hope to win it after you. So now when they're not in a contending position, it looks odd to so many people.
No question about it. The Lakers are a team that are expected to win it every single year. And we did expect, at minimum, a lot more from them this year than we've gotten. Let me ask you about one more thing. And I saw you address this really eloquently and beautifully on Jalen and Jacoby the other day. But for those who haven't, the whole world knows that you and Juwan Howard are like brothers. You couldn't be closer. And we saw the incident that took place over the weekend with him in Wisconsin and the five-game suspension. And just I think a lot of the fans watching would like to hear your reaction to the entire thing.
I think my career in multimedia improved when I decided I would never lie into microphones. And I'm not going to do that right now. Greeny, I was watching that circumstance happen live. And I shed a couple of tears when it took place. And let me tell you why. Because I know how hard this man has worked. And I know how much he sacrificed and dreamed for this opportunity. And I didn't want this lapse in judgment to be something that he got judged on, and it was the only thing that people took that snapshot of that moment and really defined his legacy. Here's what I want to say. That entire scenario, let me tell you what each coach should and could do different and will do different. Listen, will do different going forward. First off, when Wisconsin is beating Michigan, that should be a celebration. Michael Finley was getting his number retired. He thumped us when we went there as freshmen. We know how that feels. Juwan late in the game, when he's pressing, he's trying to do what he can to get back in the game. The other coach can't get the ball across. He calls timeout. That happens. You and I talk a lot about unwritten rules. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an unwritten rule in basketball. Do you call timeout when you're waxing another team? Okay, so now the handshake line. Juwan decides that he wants to walk past the coach and not engage in a handshake. Coach Gar impedes his progress, and then he does put his hands on Juwan. Not clearly a reason for Juwan to do what he did to the assistant coach, who obviously interjected himself. So all of these moments are things that Juwan would do different. And again, he apologized, but let me do something. As a Detroit native, as a Michigan alum, as somebody that has a scholarship endowment as U of M and as a season ticket holder. I apologize for the behavior of our team, just like our athletic director did. We are better than that. I've talked to Juwan. He understands that. We understand that. I think this is going to be a great moment for growth, not only for him, but for the young people on the team to see how he responds to this. I know he's going to respond, and the team is going to respond with fine colors. And when we're cutting down the nets one of these years, all of these turbulent times and years are going to make it worth it.
It's really beautifully said. He will be back in time for the Big Ten tournament after the regular season, and we'll see where it goes from there. Jay, I will see you Friday night. Thank you so much, my friend.
Love you, my brother. Have a good one.
You're the best. Jalen Rose, again, we'll be back Friday night for NBA Countdown. We work our way through it. But between now and then, we got college basketball coming your way. That's tonight, a Sonic blockbuster between Paolo Banchero and number 7 Duke taking on Virginia. That's 7 Eastern. Then we got number 6 Kentucky against LSU. You can watch all the action on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right. We haven't forgotten about you, Graziano. Here we go. We gave you a little extra time to think about it. We all know, famously, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record. Right. Who is the only quarterback who has a losing record playing for Mike Tomlin?
So Roethlisberger was there before Tomlin, right? So this has got to be a backup. We know the answer is obviously not Roethlisberger. We know from the news yesterday that it's not Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you're thinking about these backups. I mean, it goes all the way back to like Charlie Batch and Dennis Dixon. Michael Vick was there a couple of years ago. Byron Leftwich's name popped into my head, and I think that's going to be my guess. Byron Leftwich. That was one of the backups.
I cannot believe that. Why that's right. That? I can't all believe he got that right. I literally cannot believe you got that right.
But how good is Tomlin, by the way? All those guys I just listed are not the answer. And Byron Leftwich is 0-1. If he played a second game, maybe Tomlin's perfect.
I am flabbergasted that you got that right. He is a machine. The man is better at trivia than anyone I know is at anything. Byron Leftwich, the only quarterback to have a losing record playing for Mike Tomlin. So that's 8-6 in favor of Graziano. Look how nothing makes Graz happier than beating Hembo. Hey, let's touch on the Steelers here while we're on it, because we have played this sound for you, and we'll read you the quote here again. This is Kevin Colbert, the GM of the Steelers, talking about the forward-looking quarterback situation, saying if we started the season today, Mason, meeting Rudolph, would be our starter, and we're excited to see where that can go. He's 5-4-1 as an NFL starter, albeit in a backup kind of role, but we're excited to see what is next for Mason. And so that really does beg the question, is that the direction we think the Steelers will go? Kevin Colbert is the outgoing general manager. He's retiring after the draft. So it's easy for him to say that. It doesn't mean anything at this point necessarily for anyone to say what they think their future looks like as it comes to a player who's on their roster. RG3, what do you think? What do you think the answer is for the Steelers at quarterback this year?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Steelers need to go heavy and try to get Russell Wilson to come to the Steel City. If they can't get Russell, I don't really see another veteran being a viable option for them. So I think they need to try to get Kenny with it in the draft. Get Kenny Pickett. He's right there in their backyard. He started a lot of games. And don't worry about his hands being so small. You know what they say about guys with small hands? They wear small gloves. There's nothing to it. So I think that's what they need to do. Allow Mason Rudolph and possibly Dwayne Haskins to compete with a rookie, or bring in a vet like a Russell Wilson who can be there for 5 to 10 years and really be a long-term answer for your football team. But no matter what they do at quarterback, they have to fix their offensive line. Otherwise, their quarterback's going to be on his back more often than he is standing upright.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we saw in Cincinnati they overcame offensive line woes this year, but that's the road less traveled. That's not the way you want to do it. I do like the idea of Pickett. Of all the rookie quarterbacks in this class, he's certainly the most pro-ready. He has started 49 games, I think it is, on the college level. Russell Wilson's name keeps coming up here, Dan. Yeah. Is that just us saying, boy, that feels like something that would make sense, or is there some reason to think that there's more to it than that?
No, look, I mean, Russell Wilson, we still don't know for a fact that he wants out of Seattle and he'll make an issue of it, or if Seattle will trade him even if he does. But we think there's some smoke there, and if he's available, I think Pittsburgh and many other teams would do well to look into it. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them as an option. Mason Rudolph is there. I know they like him, and if they end up having to go that way, I think they feel like they can make something of it. But I don't think that's their top choice. I do think they'll look at outside options before settling on that as the solution.
Look, going out and getting a big name, that's generally not the Steeler way. We understand that's not how they have traditionally done business. But when you're in a division that has Joe Burrow in it and has Lamar Jackson in it, it's going to be tough for them to say, and we're going to go with Mason Rudolph here.
Yeah, and they have high-level talent on the defensive side of the ball. They have some high-level talent on the offensive side of the ball. Again, they need to address that line. But I don't think they see themselves as a rebuilding team.
No, and nor should they. You get the right quarterback in that situation. Now, RG3, I want you to read a video for me here, okay? So you're a body language expert, right? You understand that, facial recognition, all that stuff. This was this moment between Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers this year. It was a little sneaky moment. Tomlin caught him with a timeout. Look at that look from Mike Tomlin. You tell me those two guys don't have a little something special going between the two of them. If we're going to try and put Aaron Rodgers someplace, that moment right there suggests maybe we shouldn't overlook Pittsburgh. What do you think, RG3?
Yeah, I mean, Greeny, A-Rod and Mike Tomlin right there, they're making that eye connection, right? You see the smile go on both of their faces. It seems like they might have had some talks, you know, in the offseason sometime. Maybe some tampering things going on, but they've had some talks about him and then possibly going to Pittsburgh. That would be an interesting, you know, combination. You can't put anything, out there or throw anything out. All the possibilities are on the table when it comes to A-Rod. You never know what could happen, but that would be a very interesting fit. And I think it might be the best fit for the short term, just not for the long term, because I don't see A-Rod playing in the 5 to 10 years.
No, yeah, it seems unlikely at his age and all the rest of that, of course. But it's not a team that we've associated with him. Basically, it feels like the world has boiled Rodgers down to Green Bay or Denver. Is it reasonable to say there are other places he might wind up? So maybe Pittsburgh isn't completely off the table.
2 years ago, we all went to the combine in Indianapolis thinking that, you know, Tom Brady was going to be in, what, Miami or someplace. And then we come out of there and, like, all of a sudden, Tampa sounds like they're pretty serious. Mm. Next week is big. The combine in Indianapolis is not just the prospects running around doing drills. It's an NFL convention where all the GMs and all the agents and all the coaches assemble, and a lot of conversations happen. So, yes, there could be Aaron Rodgers destinations that we don't know about yet.
And, again, the answer to that question at the bottom of your screen will circle back. The Russell Wilson fit there feels good to everyone we've had on this program. I hope to see it happen.
As we continue. Did I say Aaron Rodgers instead of Russell Wilson?
No. You said it right. I understood what you meant. Gotcha. But we'll get back to Rodgers in just a moment.
Confusing.
He was noncommittal about his future yesterday. He knows what he wants for his BFF. We know what we think should make sense here. We'll get to all that in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up, and let's play a game called Tag Your It. The franchise tag window has opened. Who are some players, Dan, that we should expect to see get the tag?
Well, there's one, Orlando Brown, tackle from the Chiefs. Look, they traded for him last year to play him at left tackle instead of right, where he had played his career for Baltimore. Performed well for them. I imagine they want to get him signed long term, but in the meantime, I would expect them to tag him to keep him off the market. Tight end Mike Gesicki in Miami, obviously new coaching staff there, but this is a player that can be used in a variety of ways. I think he's very appealing to Mike McDaniel as an offensive weapon. The tight end franchise tag is higher than it used to be, but still an affordable way to keep a player like this off the market. It'd be interesting to see whether Gesicki pushes to be designated a wide receiver based on how often he lines up at that position. That would mean more money than the tight end franchise tag. And then Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers. This is the big one. He is the best of the players in line to be franchised this year. I do believe the Packers will do it unless some miracle happens and in the next 2 weeks they come to a long-term deal with him. But whether Aaron Rodgers is back or not and whether Devontae Adams wants to be there or not, franchising him is the best way to go for them because it keeps their options open, whether that be signing him long-term or ultimately trading him. Remember, just because you franchise a guy doesn't mean you can't pull that tag back and make him a free agent later if circumstances change.
Right, and frequently you use it as a placeholder and then work out a long-term contract somewhere along the way. Aaron Rodgers did talk about that with Devontae Adams in his conversation with Pat McAfee yesterday. Here's what Rodgers said.
I understand also today, I believe, might be the first day to tag players. And, you know, in Green Bay, there's this one specific guy who's like the best guy in the entire league at what he does. You know, whereas, like, I think number 17, you might have heard of him. So there's, you know, there's obviously, you know, the opportunity to tag him at some point, which, you know, I don't think, you know, both parties probably want that done. They'd rather get a long-term extension done. But I understand that's a part of the decision, and I talked about, you know, not wanting to drag this thing out.
Well, so and then we can look at it a couple of different ways here, Canty, because it's one thing to say it would be nice for them to know what Rodgers is going to do before they make up their minds on Devontae Adams, which ultimately they will. But the short-term step to that point, I don't think we should read too much into if and when they do franchise tag Devontae Adams, if they do that before some resolution comes on Rodgers, for the reasons that we just described. It's something that is a placeholder, but doesn't necessarily mean it's locked into the situation.
Sure, Greeny, I agree with you on that front, but how does that affect the rest of the roster? I think that's the part that comes into question because the new league year is 3 weeks away, and that's when free agency opens, and the Green Bay Packers have to be under the cap. So they cleared up some cap space, $10 million with the Kenny Clark move, that restructure, but you're still talking about them being around $40 million over the projected cap, and then tagging Devontae Adams puts you at 60. So that could cost you some veteran players that you would like to try to keep around if possible. Guys like Za'Darius Smith, guys like Preston Smith, those are guys that you would like to keep, as well as some of the impending free agents. So it limits the amount of flexibility that the organization has
right.
by not clearing up the Aaron Rodgers picture.
To be clear,
yeah.
The Aaron Rodgers picture being cleared will deal with that problem, right? We'll immediately address
yes.
that. His contract will get reworked one way or the other.
It has to, because a $46 million cap hit is not tenable. Whether he's there or whether he's not, they'll have to redo it. But Chris makes an important point about the franchise tag with Devontae Adams. As soon as they tag him, that number hits the cap, like that $20 million. So even if he doesn't sign it, they still have to account for it on their cap. So that is $20 million more that they have to clear before March 16th if they do that.
And so, RG3, in a world in which Aaron Rodgers is either retired or playing for the Broncos or playing somewhere, anywhere besides Green Bay, and Jordan Love is your quarterback, do you want Devontae Adams? If you're the Packers, whatever it is he's going to cost, what is top of the market for a wide receiver? Take the franchise tag out of it.
No, it's there, a little more than 20 at this point.
So the long-term big contract, do they need to keep him one way or the other, whether Rodgers is there or not?
Yeah, I mean, if the Packers want to win, you got to keep your best players, and Devontae Adams is one of their best players. I think there's no doubt about what I'm about to say. Well, Aaron Rodgers went on a 12-day cleanse, and when he came back, he decided to drop all this gratitude on the gram because he had nothing left in his system. And what he kind of told us was that Devontae Adams is his guy. You see how his face lights up when he talks about him being the best at his position, and his production speaks to that. 123 catches, 1,553 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Devontae Adams is a straight beast, and he's not showing any signs of slowing down. So whatever you have to do to get him back on your team because he makes your team better, you do that. You pay him Bitcoin, crypto kitties, NFTs, whatever you want. Give it to him, whether Rodgers is there or not. But if Aaron Rodgers is there, those two together are force multipliers. They do so much better together than they ever could apart.
I think that's right. It'll be fascinating to see. If Rodgers does retire, which remains on the table, what Adams then winds up doing and where he winds up going. And in case you missed it yesterday, it seems reasonable to at least mention it one more time. You mentioned that Rodgers had been on this cleanse. He talked about this at length yesterday, a 12-day cleanse he did that's called the Panchakarma diet or Panchakarma cleanse. And I'm sure a lot of people were Googling it and looking it up yesterday. It's a pretty intense activity, right? I don't know if we have the details of it that we can put on the screen or if we're just sparing America of that one more time. As you read it there, and these are all medical terms. It's a perfectly appropriate terms to be used. Your doctor might use these terms on your screen, although hopefully never all together at one time and voluntarily. Is this something that you could see yourself, Chris Canty, someday taking part in, this Panchakarma cleanse?
Greeny, let me tell you what I'm not going to do.
What is
this Panchakarma cleanse? I have no business doing that, no interest in that whatsoever.
No.
I don't know why you would want to subject yourself to that level of physical punishment. It seems absolutely unnecessary.
It's healing. It's cleansing. It sort of freshens up the soul a little bit.
Well, I'll let you tell
it. Don't be ridiculous. My job is to ask. RG3, what do you think? Can I interest you in a Panchakarma cleanse? Yes or no?
Oh, no, Greeny. I am not taking that cleanse. Listen, if you go on that 12-day cleanse, you might wake up in the middle of the night and have some next-level thoughts as well. I think that's what he went there to the Pat McAfee show to talk about, and maybe he forgot what his decision was because he was so focused on so much stuff coming out of him.
Yeah, that's it. And he's wearing the office T-shirt. This is one of the most unique people that we've ever had in the world of sports. It is no wonder none of us can figure out what he's doing or what he means. Meanwhile, our next NHL on ESPN matchup is coming your way. We got Ovechkin and the Caps heading to the Garden to take on the Rangers. That's Thursday night, 7 Eastern. Rangers are also part of our ABC matinee on Saturday the 26th, taking on Sidney Crosby and the Pens. Our coverage there will start at 3 o'clock Eastern. All right, Stephen A's warming up for the top of the hour. He's his favorite bad man. But does Stephen A think Aaron Rodgers has played his last game as a Packer? He'll answer that question top of the hour right here, First Take on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tonight, the 7th annual She Believes Cup wraps up on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. The U.S. women's national team taking on Iceland in Frisco, Texas. Coverage starts at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And as we wrap up our show for today, people sometimes ask me just how big a man really is Chris Canty. Well, I'm a believer that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So let's just get a quick demonstration of just... the difference between Canty and of course, as the host of the show, I requested an Apple box.
Understood.
Because I find it difficult.
Fair enough.
How do we feel about this, Dan?
This is how I make my living. I talk to people this size. Now, people need to know there's some camera element, right? Like if we switch
places, it's different.
First,
it's different.
You know,
drop down and get a couple inches.